Hey, this is Bo, pastor of Rhythm Church. Thanks so much for checking out our podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, or you'd like to support us financially, please visit rhythmchurch.org.
Terrible things. And again, this is bad religion, and they reject Jesus on this basis. Or maybe they have someone that's in the hospital, sick, struggling, and you're spending your time praying. You're pleading with God. Will you help them? Will you heal them? Will you make them well? And nothing seems to be happening. And they have a Christian who comes up in their life and says, look, hey, I'm really sorry you're struggling with this. But the reason that God's not healing this person is because you just don't have enough faith. If you just believed more, if you believed more deeply that God could do it, he would show up for you, he would heal them, but you don't have the right amount of faith, and so God's not going to do it. Again, they're rejecting this bad religion. That's not how Jesus works. Here's the last example, and I think this is probably the most common one I hear. People oftentimes end up rejecting Jesus because they have a bad experience with someone who claims to follow them. They'll say, look, you know, I got this boss at work. The cross neck, you know, he's a Christian. He goes to church every day. He's got the fish bumper sticker on the back of his car. He wears the cross necklace. He maybe posts some Bible verses on Facebook, but he is the worst boss I've ever had to work for. I've never met a man who's more selfish. I've never seen a guy who flies off the handle and is filled with anger like he is. And they say, if that's what Jesus is like, you can keep him. I'm not interested in that. Again, there's so many different ways that our faith can get skewed and end up going the wrong way and turning into some bad form of religion. And when it does, the consequences are devastating. It hurts people, it wounds them, and it pushes them away from Jesus, it pushes them away from the church, it pushes them away from the gospel. And that's why this set of teachings is so, so important for us as a church. Because it's going to do a couple of things for us. First, it's going to allow us as a community to correct course a bit, to find the instances in which, and it's all too easy to do, we can begin to slip into forms of bad religion. And this series is going to help us say, okay, how can we keep Jesus at the center and follow him as he is? Our mission statement here at Rhythm Church is helping people find and follow the real Jesus. Unfortunately, people have been introduced to a lot of terrible versions of him. And so we as a church need to help introduce, get on track, bring people into right relationship and understand who Jesus really is. So that's one good part about this series, but there's another thing that I think is great about this set of teachings, and that's if you happen to be here this morning and you're someone who wouldn't necessarily call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're here today and you're on the fence about the church, you're in between on the whole Jesus thing, and I want to say I am so glad you're here this morning. Because as you journey with us through this set of teachings, I think what you might be surprised to find is that some of the issues you have with Jesus, issues you have with the church, issues you have with Christianity, aren't actually issues with Jesus at all, and that he too would share a lot of these critiques, a lot of the problems you see with the church. Jesus would feel the same way too. Maybe this morning what you're pushing back against, what you're pushing away from isn't Jesus himself, but it's some form of bad religion. And I hope that this morning you might come to find a religion that's slightly different and much, much better. So that's the hope. To do that, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into a passage this morning in the book of Luke. So if you have a Bible with you, go ahead, open it on up. Luke chapter 11 is where we're going to be spending most of our time this morning. And what we're going to be doing in this passage is we are going to listen in on a conversation that takes place around a dinner table. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus gets invited, by a Pharisee to come and have a meal with him. But before food even hits the table, things get a little bit contentious and sparks start to fly. Jesus and this religious leader find themselves in a little bit of a conflict. And it's as we listen into this conflict that I think Jesus is going to point out and show us what is one of the most common forms of bad religion that I run into. So let's get ready to jump in, read this passage together. Luke chapter 11, we're going to be starting in verse 37. We're going to read through this text together, but I'm going to stop a few times along the way, break it down a little bit, and hopefully give us a better understanding of what it is that Jesus is looking to say to us this morning. Sound good? Awesome, good. Okay, let's jump on in. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. Let's start reading. Here's what it says. As Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. When the Pharisee saw this, he was amazed that he did not first perform the ritual washing before dinner. But the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and evil. Fools, didn't he who made the outside make the inside too? But give from what is within to the poor, and everything is clean for you. Okay, let's stop here for just a moment. Jesus accepts the invitation from this religious leader. He moves in, he sits down, and he gets right comfy at the table, reclines back, and he's ready to eat. But the Pharisee, the religious leader, performs this ritual washing first, and he looks over and notices something strange. Jesus isn't washing his hands before the meal. What's going on with that? Now, if you're like me at first, you might think, yeah, well, that's a reasonable question from the Pharisee. Yeah, Jesus, that's kind of gross, man. You're not going to wash your hands before you eat? All right, is the Son of God practicing bad hygiene here? Doesn't seem very COVID conscious of him, right? Should be washing them hands. And you would be right to think that if the reason that the Pharisee was washing his hands was for hygiene reasons or to try to be clean, but that's not what's going on here. This hand washing that the Pharisee is doing is for religious reasons. He's not trying to become physically clean hygiene-wise. He's trying to become religiously or ceremonially clean before God. And this is something that's a little bit different for us. We don't understand this as well today, but in the Old Testament, there were a lot of laws and procedures prescribed for instances in which people would become ceremonially unclean. They'd be religiously unclean before God, and so they'd have to engage in a few practices to be made clean and come back and engage in the life of worship with the faithful community. So instances like maybe they touched a dead body, and then they have to go through some practices to be made clean again. So the Pharisee is trying to do this extra ritual washing. This is not something that was prescribed in the Old Testament, not something that's found in the Law of Moses. They kind of heap on this extra rule, trying to make extra sure to be pure and clean on the outside before God. And then the Pharisee looks over and notices that Jesus isn't participating in this practice. And so he becomes a little bit confused and decides to talk to Jesus about this. And Jesus, in this moment, talking about ritual washings, takes this opportunity to critique the religion of the Pharisees. Jesus, in this brilliant move, he uses this discussion around ceremonial washing of cups and hands to actually point out what's going wrong with the religion of the Pharisees. And what does Jesus say to this leader? He tells him, look, you Pharisees, you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside of this cup is filled with greed and evil. Now, when we hear Jesus say this, we should quickly realize that he is no longer talking about dishware, right? I don't know what it looks like for a cup to be filled with evil. That doesn't really make sense. Maybe like decaf coffee? I don't know. That's the closest I can get. But cups aren't filled with evil. Cups aren't filled with greed. That's not how this works. And so Jesus is switching the metaphor here, and he's now talking about cups, but what he's really talking about is he's talking about the Pharisees. He's telling them what they're doing, what's wrong with their religion, how it's gone bad. And he tells them, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is filled with evil and greed. Essentially, Jesus is saying, look, you go through all these lengths to do these extra washings to appear religious and clean and pure on the outside of yourself, but this whole time you absolutely neglect what's going on inside of the cup. You do all these outward religious expressions you want to see clean, but if we took a peek inside the Pharisee's heart, what we would find is that while they're pure and religiously clean on the outside, inside they're dirty. They're filled with greed. They're filled with evil. The inside of the cup does not match the outside of the cup. And so Jesus offers the Pharisees here a little bit of advice on what they should do to correct their religion. And he says, look, if you were to give from within to the poor, everything's going to be clean for you. In other words, what Jesus is saying, hey, if you look to clean the inside of your cup, if you remove the greed you have going on and instead turn and give money to the poor, be a person who's generous, then if the inside of the cup is clean, the outside's going to be clean too. Pleasing God isn't about washing our hands and looking good on the outside. He's concerned about what's going on underneath the surface, what's going on in our hearts, who we are as a person. Right? In other words, Jesus is saying this. Our cleanliness before God works from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's not our outward appearances. It's not our religious practices that we might do on the outside that make us clean, make us pure before God. It's what's going on the inside that leads to purity outside. Jesus gives another example of this about food. He says, you Pharisees are worried about what you're eating, that it's going to defile you. But I tell you what defiles you comes from within, overflows from the heart. It's the inside of us, not the outside of us, that makes us clean. And this is nothing new to us. We shouldn't be surprised to hear Jesus say something like this. In fact, we heard about this all the time this summer when we were in the park listening to the Sermon on the Mount. In there, Jesus says things like this. He says, look, you've heard it said you shouldn't commit adultery. But I say to you, if you even look at a person with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Jesus takes this law that's about kind of surface level outward behavior and says, no, it's supposed to lay claim to our interior space too, who we are as people. If you're lusting inside, then you already are breaking the law. You're committing adultery. Jesus, again, wants to draw attention to the Pharisees' fact that it's not what's going on the outside that cleans us. But if we're going to be pure, we need to be concerned about what's going on the inside as well. And here's the truth. When our religion is just shown on the outside, and there's no genuine change or no difference on the inside, we end up practicing bad religion. Really, in fact, if I were to summarize this, this is what I think Jesus is trying to communicate to the Pharisees. This is what I think Jesus might be saying to us this morning through this text. He's saying this: bad religion happens when our faith just stays on the surface. When our faith, our religion is just skin deep, it's an outward display, but it's nothing going on the inside, we end up practicing bad religion. And this can be easy to do. We want to just maybe check the box on some religious practices. Maybe you put some money in the giving box. Maybe you attend a Bible study throughout the week. Maybe you post some Bible verses online on Facebook, whatever it is. But if you do these outward things and then you leave and your heart is still filled with anger or greed, then ultimately we're practicing bad religion. It makes no difference. We end up being hypocrites. And let me tell you this, nothing drives people away from Jesus like hypocritical Christians. Ones who put on this show of spirituality and religiousness, but when they get to know them, they encounter someone who is, again, filled with greed, filled with hate, short-tempered. Nothing drives people away from Jesus like a hypocritical Christian. But Jesus doesn't just stop here in discussing the problem with the Pharisees. What he's going to do as we move through this passage is he's going to give some more examples of how the Pharisees' religion ends up just being surface level. So let's keep reading in our passage together. Luke 11, next verse, verse 42. Here's what Jesus says to the Pharisee next. He goes like this. He says, but woe to you Pharisees. You give a tenth of mint, rue, every kind of herb, and you bypass justice and love of God. These things you should have done without neglecting the others. Okay, what's Jesus saying here? He's saying, look, you guys are so diligent trying to follow the law and appear religious. You make sure that you tithe your tenth of all your different spice racks that the law calls you to. But you know what you don't do, Pharisees? Is you don't follow the law's call to do justice, to treat your neighbor rightly, and you don't follow the law's call for you to love God. Again, they're so concerned with these outward practices, doing their religious duties, but then again, the law, ultimately, what it's trying to do is not just get us to tithe things, but the whole point of the law is to transform us into a people who love God and love our neighbor. And the Pharisees are totally missing this. Jesus says this all the time. If we're going to summarize the law, if we want to summarize the prophets, how do we do it? We do it by this saying, love God with all of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. The Pharisees are looking to be religious, but they're emphasizing the wrong thing. They're practicing bad religion. The Pharisees are putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Oh, yeah? And that sounds funny, right? When you emphasize the wrong part of a word, it comes out a bit strange. It's not working right. And that's exactly what the Pharisees are doing with the law. They're emphasizing all these little religious duties and practices. And Jesus says those are good, but you should do this without neglecting the big, the important matter of the law, doing justice, treating your neighbor fairly, and loving God with all of your being. But this, again, isn't the only thing that the Pharisees were doing to show their religion as surface. Jesus has one more critique of one of the actions of the Pharisees. So let's keep reading here. Verse 43, what's the next thing that Jesus says of the Pharisees? He says, woe to you Pharisees. You love the front seat in the synagogue, and you love greetings in the marketplace. All right, so in this, Jesus again is again taking aim at the Pharisees' enjoyment of appearing religious on the outside. They love to be seen in the marketplace as this religious leader. I'm so godly, I'm spiritual. I love, you know, having the places of honor in the synagogue. I love to be seen as religious on the surface, but you're again not doing anything beneath the surface. again, this sort of outward display is all the further that their religion went, and they were practicing a bad religion. And so Jesus is calling them to have their love of God and neighbor shine through, not just sort of an appearance of being righteous and religious. Here's the thing. I know none of us this morning, or not many of us this morning, are religious leaders at the church, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. But that doesn't mean we can't fall into the same trap as the Pharisees. It's easy for us too. And it happens when we show up at church and we love being seen as godly more than we want to actually try to be godly. In fact, I think Jesus kind of pushes us with a really difficult and uncomfortable question in this passage here. And here's what I think Jesus is asking us this, is this. Am I here to love God or to be seen as someone who loves God? Am I here to genuinely love God or am I here because I want to be seen as a person who is religious and loves God? And that's an uncomfortable question, but an important one. Jesus isn't looking for people who are just interested in practicing a surface-level religion. He's interested on who they are on the inside and if they genuinely want to change and be different. He doesn't want people to just play church. Let me come in, let me do a couple duties, let me put some money in the box, and let me go about my day. He wants people who are saying, no, I want you to follow me. I want you to deny yourself. I want you to take up your cross. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't want people who are pretending to be so pure and religious and put together. In fact, Jesus wants just the opposite. He wants people that know they're not put together. He doesn't want people cleaning the outside of their cup and saying, look at me. He wants people who are honest about the state of the cup on the inside. And one of my favorite stories that Jesus perhaps tells in all of the New Testament is another story found in the book of Luke, and I love this. Jesus tells a story about two individuals, one who's a Pharisee, a religious leader, and one who's a tax collector, a sinner. And he says that the Pharisee comes up and says, I thank God that I haven't been made like these other tax collectors and sinners. It's just posture of righteousness, that I'm so good, I'm so religious, look at the outside of my cup, it's so clean, I'm glad I'm not like those disgusting sinners and tax collectors. And Jesus says, but on the other hand, there was a tax collector who comes up, beats his chest and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus in this story tells us that one of these men left justified. And it wasn't the religious leader who act all superior and like he was all clean, putting on a show on the outside. Instead, it was the tax collector. It was the sinner. It was the person who knew that the inside of his cup wasn't clean, knew that, heck, the outside of his cup wasn't clean, and he wasn't going to pretend about it. Instead, he was going to come to Jesus and say, look, I'm dirty. I need help. I need to be made clean. I need to be made clean from the inside out. Jesus is looking for people who were honest about their posture, honest about their position, and genuinely looking to make a change. Here's the thing. Christianity is not about trying to look righteous, trying to look religious. It's about knowing that we are not and seeking after Jesus for his grace and mercy. And here's the thing. When we try to put on an act like we got it all together, when we try to act like we're all holy and better than thou, we do a great disservice to Jesus in the gospel. We betray the truth of Jesus and the message of Christianity, which is that we are not put together. All of our cups are dirty. None of us are in a position where we should be. And yet the good news is that Jesus embraces us as we are, looks to make that transformation from the inside out and transform us into a people who truly do love our neighbor and love God. So if you're here this morning and your experience with the church has been similar to what I've described, if you've been in a room full of people who act like they've got it all put together and kind of look down their nose at you like, what's wrong with you? You need to be living better. I want to apologize to you because that's not Jesus. That's not Christianity. That's bad religion. And that Jesus wants to meet you where you are as you are, transform you from the inside out, and send us out to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. This isn't how Christianity is supposed to be. Okay, this brings us to the final thing that Jesus is going to say to the Pharisees when it comes to their bad religion. And this one can get a little confusing. Let's read this together. Verse 44, our final verse, it says this. Jesus says, woe to you. You are like unmarked graves. The people who walk over them don't even know it. Okay, again, a little confusing. Jesus is critiquing the Pharisees. He's calling them out, and he kind of name calls them and says, you guys are like unmarked graves. That's a little confusing. What do you mean by that, Jesus? What are you trying to say? Well, this becomes more clear when we have a better understanding of some of the Jewish traditions around ritual cleanliness. As I mentioned before, if Jewish people were to come in contact with a dead body, they'd be considered religiously or ceremonially unclean. But this is also true of people if they were to just touch a grave, a burial site. And what we find in this tradition is that even if they didn't know it, if it's an unmarked grave and they happen to have walked on it, they are made ceremonially unclean. So what is Jesus saying when he calls them unmarked graves? He's saying, look, Pharisees, your religion, the way that you do things, it's like an unmarked grave. When people come to you, when they come in contact with you, when they follow you, they're defiled. They're made unclean. And all your attempts to seem clean, and pure, ultimately you defile yourself. And people don't even know it. There's no sign, there's no warning. On the outside, again, they look clean and pristine and good, but inside they're full of dead bones, and to follow them and touch them ultimately defiles us. Right? And so this is really the warning I want us to hear as a church this morning. I want to hear Jesus warning the Pharisees about operating and becoming these unmarked graves that when people come in contact with them, they end up dirty and defiled. I don't want that for our church. I don't want Rhythm Church to be an unmarked grave where people walk in and get this feeling that they need to put on airs of righteousness and act all clean and better than other people and ultimately turn around and just create other people who are like that, living a fake life on the outside while neglecting to be honest and take inventory of what's going on the inside. I don't want that for our church. I don't want us to play church. I want us to be the church. I want us to change ourselves on the inside and live as Jesus is calling us to live. I want us to be a church whose faith goes beyond just the surface level and truly moves out beyond the doors to make a difference in the communities and lives of the people around us. Because here's the truth. Let me tell you. The world has plenty of examples of hypocritical Christians who are just interested in appearing righteous and religious and godly, but have no concern for the poor, the needy, have no concern to do justice to their neighbor, who have no concern with really loving God with who they are as a person, their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And church, we have the opportunity to show the community, the people around us, a better way. We have an opportunity to introduce people and say, the Jesus that you've been experiencing, I'm sorry, is not Jesus as he is. And I'm so sorry this has hurt you. I'm sorry you've had to experience this, but let me show you, let me help you find and follow the real Jesus. Let me take you to someone who will embrace you as you are and clean you from the inside out. Let me take you and show you to a person who will help us be and become a community where we love one another as we should. I don't want to play church. I want to be the church. So I just want you to imagine the impact that could have on the community around us. Imagine what it would look like if we weren't just putting on the outside, but really living out this whole Christian message. What would it do for your families? What would it do in your workplace? What would it do for the surrounding community? It would change it. It would transform it, because that's what Jesus does when he shows up. He invites us to be real, authentic, honest about what's inside the cup, and begin to clean it. And that's the Christianity and religion I want, and it's something I believe by the grace of God we can actually practice. So this week, what I want is, may we not just be content cleaning the outside of the cup, but may we come to Jesus genuinely to be cleaned and transformed from the inside out. Because when our faith is on the surface, we are practicing bad religion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to just pause here for a moment, and I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for this passage and giving us a tough reminder, but it's so important. God, I know we do so much damage when we walk around and we pretend to be something we're not. It can be exhausting, though, too. God, would you come alongside us here today, and would you maybe tap us on the shoulder and help us to realize that we don't need to spend all our time scrubbing the outside of our cup, trying to look holy, trying to look all put together, that gets us nowhere. But God, would you help us to be a people who actually clean the inside of the cup by your grace? Would you help us to be a people who aren't just trying to attend church and put some money in the box, but be the church? Help us to seek justice and to love God. And Father, I just want to pray for the people in the room here this morning too, who maybe have had an experience with bad religion. Maybe they've experienced the Christians who are self-righteous and think they're better. Maybe they've been judged. Maybe they've been put down. And I want you to just come alongside them today and help them to see that that's not who you are. That's not what you're like. Rather, you're a God, again, who comes alongside us, meets us where we are, even when we're broken, even when we're dirty, even when we're not put together, and you work with us to make us clean. And so we thank you for this work. We thank you that you're going to continue to do this. And we pray for your Spirit to help us to not just play the church, but to rather be the church. I pray all this to you in the name of your Son. Amen.